God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Did your five-year-old child ever want to help you wash the car or some such thing? Now, if your child ever did that, you realize that if you allowed your child to help you wash the car, you were helping him. He wasn't helping you. Now, you may have been investing in his helping you in the future when he was capable, but he wasn't really helping you. You didn't need that help. He needed you to teach him. You know, sometimes we think that God really needs us. God is desperately in need of us, and nothing could be further from the truth. Now, to be sure, if I refuse to serve God and do what God made me to do, there may be people who will suffer for that because God would have provided through me. But in the strictest sense, God is not in lack. God is not impoverished by anything that I withhold from him. God doesn't need me. God loves me. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" God is a massive God, and how could one possibly build him a place with human hands in which he could dwell? Solomon, when he built the magnificent temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, he says, "Will God indeed dwell in the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." And so God doesn't merely need us. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, speaking to a rebellious people, he says to them, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I'm not pleased by them. I don't need them. I don't need your sacrifices as if I were hungry. What's the purpose of it?" Jesus quoted Isaiah when he said in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, about those who were religious but rejected him, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So God is a God who has no need. God is in fact a God who loves us. God, in other words, God doesn't want you to help him. God wants you to hear him. I think we should serve him, but God doesn't primarily want you to help him. He wants you to hear him. If you will hear him, then you'll be serving him in ways that matter. Verse 2, God says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, the earth, the heavens, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." You know, how could you possibly impress an infinite God with some good act of virtue that you have done? God spoke the worlds into existence, and I'm supposed to impress him by some little thing that I've done? And yet, if you look at the Gospels and you look at God in a body, God incarnate, God the Son and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he oftentimes marveled not at people's works. How could they possibly impress him with that? He marveled at their faith, or as it turns out, their lack of faith. In verse 3 of Isaiah 66, the Bible says, "He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man." And it just goes through all these wonderful things that the people pretended to do, but they were an abomination to God. In verse 4, "I also will choose their delusion." This is in response to verse 3 where God says, "Yea, they have chosen their own ways." So they chose their ways and God chose their judgment. God says, "Because when I called, none did answer." Isaiah 65, the entire chapter seems to be about the fact that God was not hearing his people because his people were not hearing him. So God doesn't want you merely to help him. God wants you to hear him. Why do we say that? Well, in the first place, God has more ambition. Now, you can have great ambition. You may have desire to do great things for God. That's fine. But what is vision? The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And in that proverb, the context is obvious. The vision talked about is God's actual word. If you want to see far into the future, what has God said? What does God want? Isaiah is the book where God prophesies of Cyrus in some detail, and 150 years before Cyrus was even born. Friend, do you honestly think that your ambitions are greater than an infinite God? God doesn't want you to help him. God wants you to hear him. God has more power. He says the earth is his footstool. The heaven is his throne. In verse 14, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants and his indignation toward his enemies." His hand towards his servants, his indignation towards his enemies. God has more power than you can possibly imagine. God is the God of greatest power. The Bible says in verse 23, "All flesh will come to worship before me, saith the Lord." That day will come. God has more ambition, more power, more intelligence. In verse 18, speaking of those who are wicked and stray from him, God says, I know their works. Jehovah says the same thing in Revelation. I know your works. God knows our works, good and bad. God knows us to our core. God has more knowledge of the future and the past and the present. God knows me better than I know myself. God has more longevity, more life, if you will. In verse 22, he says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. You know, there are very few things that remain in this earth. If I were to say, name five churches that are gospel preaching, Bible centered, that are more than 100 years old, you know, most of us would have a hard time naming even five. And that is a very sobering thought indeed. Friend, God is not impressed by what you do for him if you're not listening to him. And so many churches and colleges and wonderful organizations have been established, and then we stop listening to God and we're satisfied with what we're doing and not what God wants, and we lose our way. God doesn't want you to help him. God wants you to hear him. How do you do that? Well, Isaiah is both a book and a prophet, and we have the book sitting in our lap. And so if you want to hear God, hear his word. Hear his words through Isaiah or Jeremiah or any part of the Bible. And then secondly, hear his words through his servants. No person is infallible, but a good Bible preacher does just that. He preaches God's authority. He tells you what God has said, not what he thinks. Not what a man thinks, but what God knows. And so if you want to hear God, hear his word and hear those who speak his truth, who speak his word, who get their ideas from what God has actually said. So God doesn't want you merely to help him. God wants you to hear him. Will you hear him? Now, go and do something. And that's exactly the way God designed us to be, to do something to serve him, but only after we hear something to hear what he has to say. God doesn't want you to help him. God wants you to hear him. And if you will hear him, your life will count for things that matter.